This is the Appliance Retailer Podcast, speaking to industry leaders about the latest news, trends, and insights across the retail and appliance landscape. Hello, and welcome once again to the Appliance Retailer Podcast. I'm Seamus Byrne, and of course we are joined by the editor of Appliance Retailer, Emily Benchich. Emily, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Seamus?
Yeah, ready and raring to go with another great chat with someone from the industry. Please tell us who we've got this week.
On this week's show, we have DigiDirect General Manager Haig Kayserian. Haig, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Now, I've heard that DigiDirect has recently reopened its Melbourne flagship showroom. Can you talk us through the upgrades and enhancements that you've made to the store?
DigiDirect is starting to reimagine what the next chapter of retail is going to look like for our company. We started out as a digital retailer and obviously graduated into physical retail and stores. And more recently, we've added new categories to our stable. We're known traditionally as a camera and imaging retailer, but recently we've ventured into some other products that we think are of interest to our customer base: computers, mobile gaming and streaming. And the Melbourne store refit was basically the first manifestation of that new DigiDirect store experience.
Fantastic. So are there plans for any other kind of refits or other new stores in the network? You know, what's the outlook there?
Yeah, there's quite a bit going on there, Seamus. We're very bullish about our expansion. We had a very good period during COVID, like a lot of digital first retailers who were able to pivot to the increased demand that there was from shoppers. And we want to reinvest that by, you know, employing more people in Australian retail. And to do that, we know one of the best ways is to basically open more stores. You know, Australians love their retail. They've shown that by coming back in droves to the shopping centres and hubs around the country. So it's very important for us to make sure that our stores are even more accessible for them. The ones we have, you know, we were one of the very few retailers refitting stores during COVID. You know, most people were scared about what the future of retail was going to be. But the way our owner approached the situation was he wanted to refit stores and double down in retail. And we did that. You know, we did a couple of refits during that period. Our Sydney CBD store, for example, it's also got a section dedicated to our new categories. We've already planned a refit in Cannington, in our Perth store, our WA store. We're also talking to a designer about what the Miranda store in the Westfields in Miranda is going to look like. So that's definitely one of the next cabs off the rank as well, like Perth is. We are also very excited, probably in the next 2 weeks, to reveal the seventh physical store in our network as well. So it will be covering a catchment area in New South Wales that we don't currently service. So we're very excited that on the 1st of July, that will be coming online. So we're definitely doubling down on retail, and we're making sure that in all of our stores, while our primary customer is definitely the camera consumer, we recognize that today's camera consumer is very different to the photographer that it used to be. It could be a streamer, who knows, it could even be a podcaster like you guys. And you know, we realize that they're buying, you know, some of the other bits and pieces required in their tech stack from elsewhere because DigiDirect didn't used to offer it. Now we want to offer that. We're doing that online. We're doing that to some success. And we'll make sure our physical stores are going to carry the core ranges of those items as well.
Now, just on the back of that, I find it quite interesting, as you mentioned, that during lockdowns, people were quite focused on their digital presence, growing their online business. But as you say, you have really sort of doubled down on your in-store investment. I'd love to sort of dive into that a little bit deeper and find out your thinking behind that decision.
Sure. Look, first of all, we are a digital-first company. And when I say that, I'm not actually saying we don't care about physical retail. As you've alluded to, it's the opposite. But we're digital-first simply by virtue of the fact that digidirect.com.au existed before any of our physical stores. Most of the people in our industry, and I'm talking broader consumer electronics, that's not the order it happened in. They were physical retailers, and then they said, how are we going to take advantage of the digital presence? So as a digital first retailer, we were very well set for the pandemic. Of course, you know, we had no inkling it was going to happen or anything of that nature was going to happen, but we were just set up as a lean operation like many technology companies are. We didn't need to scramble for tech talent when they weren't available. We hire tech talent. We have our own developers in-house. We have our own design team in-house. We're built like a technology company that happens to sell products and move boxes around the country. So for that reason, we didn't really need to do a major investment. We just needed to scale up what we had already tested over many years and knew worked digitally. Now, the store environment took a bit of a change, and that's part of the reason that I think you're seeing that we're quite bullish about retail. Number one, we think Australians have proven to us and other people that they will never give up on physical retail, or it will take quite a bit for them to give up on physical retail. Like, there were months, you know, our six stores during COVID were doing, you know, 10, 20% of our income, and the web was carrying the 70, 80%, which it was doing comfortably, but it was doing it. Now it's already back at that sort of pre-COVID split of about 60 web, 40 retail. And with this seventh store that's about to come online, I expect that we'll get parity. So I think Australians have first of all shown people like us that, you know, we need you to invest in retail because we still like our store. Secondly, we are selling brands that people are familiar with. So they can buy it online with quite a bit of trust and faith that when it gets to them, they know what it is and the fact that it's a legitimate product. But they're not cheap products. And I find that, you know, if it is a product that people are going to spend some money on, some savings on, they do sometimes take a little bit longer in the consideration process towards purchasing that product. And part of that consideration process is usually a visit to a store. Whether that's the final destination or not is secondary. That's usually part of their experience. And we think that to have an effective digital e-commerce business in Australia, you do need to have some sort of a physical touchy-feely presence, unless you are selling stuff that really people don't need to touch to buy. So recognizing that is also a reason why we have a physical retail strategy. And also, I think, unfortunately, a lot of retailers did struggle. They weren't set up for a crisis like this. And as a result of that, there are a few vacancies out there as well, you know, whether it's in our industry or others. And this is a tragic reason that we're interested, because there are more availabilities than there are at the moment. There are retail centres and landlords that are more interested in doing deals, you know, which isn't always the case. And, you know, which business person doesn't want a deal? So putting all of this together, having a very proactive strategy in physical retail, seeing the opportunities that are out there, seeing that Aussies still want to shop in store, it's basically telling us that opportunities that come up, we need to look at and hopefully capitalize on. That's what we're doing. So the store that's about to open, the area it's in, we had it on a list based on a lot of the data analytics that pointed us to the fact that DigiDirect customers live within the vicinity of this part of Sydney. So for us to know that and know that we want a store there, and then for something to become available, it makes it very easy for us to move. And that's what we've done, and that's what we'll continue to do.
You've touched on that whole idea of moving into broader consumer electronics. So I sort of wonder, you know, and you've touched on data as well. I wonder, was that a data-driven decision, or were there other elements behind that?
It's very much a data-driven decision, Seamus. First of all, you know, we want to make clear that DigiDirect's goal is to dominate the industry that we are currently, I believe, leading in. It might be, you know, number one for some brands, number two for others, and three for others, but we're definitely one of the market leaders when it comes to cameras and imaging. And knowing that that dominance is within sight in that particular vertical, we want to make sure we capitalize on that and reinvest in that and continue to do whatever we can to make our consumers recognize that for everything cameras, DigiDirect is going to be your location. However, in recognition of that audience and understanding the way they are behaving in our stores, on our website, through omnichannel monitoring like we've been doing for quite some time now, we have come to understand, as I said earlier, that we do have a different consumer to what we used to have. You know, they're not all part of the Professional Photographers Association. They're not all, you know, videographers that are buying, you know, cameras. They're not all photographers that are buying lenses. There are people that are treating it as a hobby, which there always has been an element of that, but that has become larger. But gamers who are twitching, need cameras. People who are streaming need cameras as well as their microphones, you know, and gamers as well as their monitors and all of these other elements. Now, what we recognize is by understanding our audience, our customers, we recognize that these guys are buying some of these items from other places. And we want to give them the opportunity, because we respect them so much and they've been so good to us, to also buy a few additional items from us that they might be buying from other retailers out there. Now, I don't necessarily believe that our goal is world domination in consumer electronics. I don't think that that's the right way to approach this. And I don't think that would be us doing the right thing by the industry that we want to be leading in. However, to offer the right items to those consumers who are wanting them, I think that is the least we should do to grow as a business, and we can do for our consumers.
Just circling back on the product side of things, I'd love to learn more about how that purchasing behavior did shift over the last couple of years, especially with people, you know, not traveling, being in lockdown. You did mention, you know, people that are gaming, people that are streaming, they need those sort of accessories. So how did that sort of shift from what you saw pre-COVID when people were out and about and perhaps investing in those higher ticket priced items?
Yeah, look, to be perfectly honest, Emily, I do think that the decision to move into the new categories, it did happen during COVID. The implementation, I should say, happened during COVID, but the decision happened before that. You know, we were always, like every company, I mean, we're experiencing year-on-year growth. You know, we're a company that's not very old, but we're already approaching a very significant revenue for a retailer our size. And recognizing that, what we needed to do was say, okay, how do we grow next? You know, because you're always looking at ways to grow. In the camera industry, what we're doing is quite impressive. It's especially because some of it's been under the radar. We're seeing that we're hitting a little bit of a ceiling when it comes to the industry. You know, how much more can you do when you are the top one, two, or three retailers for all the major brands in your industry? You can definitely continue to increase. If the market consolidates, you can take advantage of that. That's all part of our strategy. That could be part of a growth strategy as well. But it is a growth strategy with an end. It isn't a growth strategy that is endless. And as a retailer that is quite ambitious, it is our goal to grow beyond that. So the decision to invest and expand into these categories was made before COVID. It just so happened that the implementation phase happened during COVID. Now, what led to those decisions and the changing consumer behaviors, they've been there for a while. You know, these industries have been developing. The purchases of cameras have become very different over the years. You know, those mirrorless cameras, they weren't even a thing, you know, not too long ago. The lenses that people are buying are very different to what they were once upon a time. The accessories, you know, they weren't what they are now when we first started in the industry. So all of these things have resulted in changes. The data that we've been seeing have resulted in changes. The interactions that we have with our customers have told us that our customers are a little bit different. They're of a different generation. They have different ambitions. They have different hobbies. And some of those hobbies happen to be connected to products that we either sell or should sell. And that's probably why the decision was made. And how we did it was we treated it very seriously, like we treated the camera game, you know, when we started the business. You know, we said, if we're going to dedicate resources to this, we're not just going to say we want to expand in categories. We're going to identify the categories. We're going to identify the brands. And we're going to identify the products. Because DigiDirect is a specialist retailer in cameras. So we need to become the specialist retailer for camera buyers in these other categories. So after hiring the necessary individuals who are going to lead these category expansions, we were able to identify what we're going to be buying, establish important connections with suppliers and brands as well, get the prices that we need to be competitive for our consumers, and then, you know, list the products online, which we've done, achieve some traction, which we've done, and now implement it into our stores to ensure our entire Omni network is selling everything that we're selling online.
Now, DigiDirect has also launched a pre-loved DigiSeconds category. I'd love to get your thoughts on how that's working.
It's very early days, Seamus, but we're very excited about that as well. You know, we like all companies at a certain maturity, some earlier than us and some later than us. They look to become a more sustainable business and a responsible member of the business community. And DigiDirect is in that phase at the moment. Whether we're building a store, refitting our warehouse, we're always thinking about how we're powering it and how we are, you know, better becoming responsible citizens within the environment which we operate. And seconds is something that fits into that category. It's probably the most significant commercial investment that we've made in sustainability as a company. And what we're doing is basically providing the opportunity for people with pre-loved cameras, pre-loved electronics, things that we and our consumers are interested in, to sell those items to us, either by visiting one of our stores, which are all on the way to, if not already, accredited seconds dealers. And secondly, to purchase seconds from us. Now, we have all sorts of categories of seconds, you know, in our warehouse. We have, you know, refurbs, which are, I guess, the more refined versions of seconds. We have open boxes, which really, they're not seconds except for the very literal meaning that, you know, they basically have an open box. And also just pre-loved, and we have a whole department dedicated to this. So Paul Clayton is a very experienced buyer in the camera industry, somebody who's dabbled in pre-loved items all of his life. He's now leading that category, and we have an assistant in that category for him, as well as a returns officer. So we've actually dedicated a whole department and section in our warehouse to this. Each of our stores have their seconds cabinets and the individuals that are responsible for dealing in seconds. And also on our website, all of those items are appearing as well as in some of the marketplaces that DigiDirect lists on. So it's an exciting development for us. It's just another one of those areas for growth, but it's one that we just feel very good about.
Sounds very exciting. Now, looking to the broader retail industry, what's your general view on the current climate and where do you see things heading over the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, look, it's very uncertain. I think there's a very clear link between, you know, macroeconomic conditions and people's appetite to make purchases. I don't think every Australian out there is reading between the lines of every economic story that's out there, but they're hearing them because you can't avoid them. And unfortunately, at the moment, none of it is positive. Other than unemployment figures, which seem to be pretty low, and the fact that wages apparently might be going up, there aren't too many positives out there. All you hear about is how much has been wiped off the stock exchange from day to day. All you hear about is how interest rates are high and inflation is high. Basically, the trajectory just isn't very positive economically, and that impacts people's decisions to part with their well-earned money. You know, they think about things, as we all know, like savings, etc., which isn't always the greatest thing to benefit retailers. However, we think that this is an opportunity for a company like us to invest in our business, invest in our resources, focus on what we're going to do when this situation betters itself, because it will better itself like it always has. There's always been an economic recovery after an economic downturn, and to best take advantage of the situation when that happens. I think that, you know, DigiDirect is very much ahead of the curve there, and we're also looking out for opportunities during this this situation. So the opportunities, I think, are that there's always a need for some of the products that we sell, and there are a lot of people that sell them. We just have to make sure that we're the ones that people want to buy it from when they're ready to buy. There might be a smaller pool of people ready to buy at the moment, but those that are ready to buy, and if we sell it, we just want to make sure we're there, we're priced right, and our service is right for them to recommend their friends the next time. So we will do that. We'll keep the wheels turning. We'll keep investing in our people and our business, and the time will come that we'll come out of this, and I think that will just signal another positive turning point for our company.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Haig. It was great speaking with you and learning more about what DigiDirect has been up to.
Thank you very much, Emily, and thank you, Seamus. Keep up the good work with the show.
Yeah, thanks so much, Haig. Yeah, really insightful stuff. And Emily, of course, remind listeners where they can keep up with all the latest.
they can go to www.appliancetailor.com.au, where they can also sign up to our newsletter.
Excellent. And of course, we'll be back with more from Appliance Retailer real soon. This has been the Appliance Retailer podcast. Get more of the latest industry news and insights at appliancetailor.com.au, where you can also subscribe to our twice weekly newsletter.